Okay, well, I want to do part two of this prophetic words for 2013 today. And I shared quite a lot about how I interpreted things last week. I just want to give you the words this week in context. We have a prophetic timetable that we are using to prepare. And we're in that place where we've seen the fire of God come a lot. And we've seen God's presence come to remove the stumbling blocks and to refine and purify and make us ready for what's coming. But it's important to see, why is prophecy so important? Because we hold prophecy in a high regard, and we've got many prophetic people here with prophetic gifts. Why is prophecy so important? Well, Amos 3:3 says, "Do two men walk together unless they've made an agreement?" And God, when he releases prophetic words to people to speak out here on earth, it's a connection of agreement between heaven and earth. In the Lord's Prayer, it's like, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So when God brings a prophetic word, where does it come from? From heaven. It comes from the realm of where God's kingdom is. And it comes to the realm where God's kingdom needs to be. So we need an agreement between heaven and earth for God's kingdom to be outworked. Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servant the prophet." So whatever God is going to do, he is going to reveal it to people so they can prophesy out on earth as his will is in heaven. Then there can be an agreement. The power of agreement is great. And you can't walk together with the Lord unless you're in agreement with his word and what he's saying. And God is giving us his word in these days. Matthew 18:18. "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind, permit, declare proper and lawful on earth, must be what is already permitted in heaven. Whatever you loose, forbid, and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already forbidden in heaven." So the keys of God's kingdom are in heaven first, so they can be outworked on earth. Therefore, we need to actually see the outworking of those things first in heaven. That's why God has given us the ability to actually hear his voice, to see what he's doing, and to actually go there and experience what he wants us to bring. And then on earth, in Matthew 18:19, "Again, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth, harmonize together and make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven." Now that doesn't mean we can come and agree about silly things. It means we can come and bring an agreement between heaven and earth. And then we come together on that agreement, we can have confidence that God is going to answer and release. So prophecy is really, really important, because it brings a power of an agreement between heaven and earth so that the kingdom in heaven can be demonstrated here through our lives. Because the kingdom of God is not just in heaven. In Luke 17:21, I think it says, the kingdom is within you. So we have this connection between heaven and earth, which needs agreement in us. That's why prophecy is so powerful. And I want to share this prophetic word that I received on the 31st of December today. I'd encourage you to weigh it and review it. See what applies to you in it. See what God is saying to you. Ask yourself, how do I respond to what God's saying? Because if God's saying something, we really need to take it seriously. Do you need to make any changes, adjustments to your thinking, feeling, acting for 2013 to come into agreement with God and what he says? Because if God is saying something and we're not in agreement, then who's got to change? Us. Because God isn't going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is eternal. He's perfect. He's not going to change. So if anything needs to change, it's got to be us. So when we were singing this morning about strip everything away, we lay everything down, it's because we got to change so that we become more like Jesus, so that we're transformed into his image, one degree of glory to another, and God is asking us to come to him. So this is the word. It is time. It is time for a change. Now, I'm going to read this word out, and I want you to be not listening to me saying it. Actually imagine that God is saying this to you. He's going to use a human vessel to prophesy, but actually it's God's word. So take it as God and therefore really apply it and ask God to give you revelation. Because some things will pass over the top of your head and some things will touch your heart, and that's okay. Because it's the things that God is speaking to you individually that matter. So it is time for a change in season. The old season will continue, but a new season will be layered over it. The new season will be a demonstration of justice and judgment that comes from a baptism into the river of glory. This is where you will come to know me as Father God. I am about to reveal myself to you like you have never known before. I am about to reveal the true nature of grace that reveals true justice and brings about true judgment. I am about to reveal the true nature of my heart. I am God. I am God. Do you not realize the truth that I am God? A deeper revelation will be unveiled as you come as a body and stand before my mercy seat. Yes, come and stand before the place of true judgment where the blood is the record of my dealings with man. My will is about to be revealed, and many will say this and that cannot be of God because they do not really know me. They only know about me. I am inviting you to come and stand before me where I can write a deeper revelation of my heart on the tablet of your hearts. You have been invited. Now come through the place where justice and judgment met and where the blood stands recorded forever to the river of my glory. Immerse yourselves in me. Come deeper and deeper into me, and I will become more and more real to you, who I really am. Your understanding and revelation has been so shallow. You've known a measure of grace from that river, but there is so much more. I am about to reveal my true nature, and justice and judgment will be meted out. I am about to fill those shadows of heaven that are on earth with so much supernatural manifestations of my glory and power as a sign of my affirmation and authentication of my true house and my true people. Many will reject me because they do not know me, and I will have to say, depart from me because I do not recognize you. I do not see heaven in this place. Ichabod, the glory has departed. Many will be like Samson, who did not realize that my power had left. Ichabod will be in contrast to Shekinah, as my glory will be the judging factor. So many will reject it because they never knew the real me. That is why you've been invited to know the real me, so that you can be forerunners of the glory presence. You will see angels on assignments amongst you, and the cloud of witnesses will descend and start to appear. Mantles of glory soaked with oil will settle in your midst, and you will have visitations from those in white linen who will testify to the presence of my glory. You must all learn to stand in my presence, and I will invite you to come to the judgment seat where my fiery pillar will judge your works, and the wood, hay, and straw will be consumed. I will give you new names, and I will give you new identities, and I will give you new commissions when the old scrolls have been judged and cleansed by fire. Continue to be the living sacrifices that you must be, but there are showers of blessing that I'm going to manifest in your midst in person. Get ready for the healing pool where healing mantles will be laid down like a pool. Get ready for miracles. Be expectant that there is going to be an increase in the supernatural manifestations of glory. Your regional authority will spread out and government will be formed. Many wells will be redug and new wells will be added so that my walls of fire will start to join together. Your relationship links will strengthen, although some links will be broken, but new links will be forged. Be very careful that you do not become weighed down and hindered by the circumstances, but you rise above them into the higher realms of heaven. I'm going to give you access to higher courts and higher thrones, for many of you will be invested with new power and authority. For some of you, you will need to go through deeper levels of succession. For others, the time for enthronement is here. You must take your places. The old orders have to die so that you can succeed and be enthroned at new, higher levels of authority, power and authority. For some, dreams will begin to be fulfilled. And for others, your dreams will be revealed as mere hopes with no substance. Do not let this cause you to be discouraged and disillusioned, but see it as the opportunity to have your true destinies revealed. Let go of the old to embrace the new. Do not be earthbound. Step through the veils that are open to you by yielding to your destinies. New places in the realms of heaven will be open to you if you persevere through the fiery pillar of judgment. New, 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 new. New for old, new for old. New dreams, new clothes, new visions, new identities, new family, new marriage, new jobs, new responsibilities, new homes, new fields, new furrows, new favor, new authority, new mantles, new dimensions, new blessings, new anointing, new songs, new for old, new for old, new for old. I will anoint you with the oil of joy and gladness. My joy will be revealed in you and your joy will be full. Anointing oil of joy. It is time to start to look up and look out and see the fields are ready for harvest. I've called you to be a place where the future laborers will be equipped in supernatural ministry and authority. Start to change your focus and see that all that I do in your midst is so you will be able to take it out. The only walls I want you to have are walls of fire around you. The walls of separation between church and community must be removed, so that the light that I shine in your midst will take out like torches ablaze, on fire, passionate for the lost and hurting. Change the focus and begin to expect miracles of salvation, and a trickle will become a flood if you're ready to disciple and equip the ones that will be drawn to the light. Be light bearers, be light carriers, be sons of the light who have nothing to do with darkness and no darkness is found within them. Be radiant examples of righteousness, peace and joy flowing in the deep love that I have for you. Basically, that was a word that was given, and I would encourage you, just let God speak to you through it. If there's something in there that strikes your heart, allow God to speak to you through that. Allow God to challenge you, to encourage you, to raise your expectancy. God gives a word so that faith can produce from hope. Because when God says something, it gives hope. Now I have something to hang my faith on. God is promising to do this, so I can have faith in it. So let's take those words. Now I also want to review some of the international prophetic ministry things that words have been brought for 2013. Again, I would encourage you to weigh and interpret those for yourselves and for us corporately, individually. What is God saying to you? How are you going to respond? Some of these words are confirmatory of things that are already taken place here and things that we've gone through over the last few years. Some of them are more directional. Some of the things God's saying that he's going to do. Let's really listen to those things. Believe, some of it says, it's an affirmation of our call to be prepared like Joseph in the cocoon of prison obscurity. Joseph had a vision and a dream, but he was hidden in a prison, seemingly never going to fulfill what the dream was. And yet, in that prison, God was still with him. Some of us, actually, our lives feel like, well, where am I? I'm not really seeing my dreams fulfilled. I'm not seeing the things that God has promised. Where are they? Actually, sometimes God uses the prison, a place which seems like we're locked up. Actually, it's the place where God is preparing us to release us. Don't be afraid of that. Because one day, you'll start to emerge from that cocoon and launch out into flight. I believe the next 2 years are very important. I prophesied that 3 years would be important a year ago, and I believe 2 years are going to be important now. And some of that comes through these words. Something needs to be birthed through intercession in the heavenly realm. Now, when I mean intercession, I don't mean us crying out here asking God to do something. I mean us going to heaven and standing in the gap and bringing heaven to earth through what we do and what God shows us. So this is some of the words. Arise, shine, and radiate. I'm filling boundaries of my inheritance with glory. I'm revealing places where my inheritance is not filled with glory. Places where glory is absent and curses in operation. You will hear a new call. I can assign and enlarge your sphere of operation, but you must cooperate with my glory. Procrastination, not making the most of my time, is a great competitor of my purposes. Postponement and misplaced waiting are competing with you wearing your prosperity that I have for you now. So rise up, awaken the dawn, shake out the evil workers, put your hand to the plow, advance in the field of operation that I'm setting before you. A new passion is coming alive in you. Arise, awaken to my passion and strength. My glory is part of my wealth strategy in the earth today. Feel the weight of the glory and watch others be drawn to you. My people need to know who they are, how they are positioned, and the inheritance that they have been grafted into and given. I have a people who will triumph if you will order your prayers. I will order your steps. You will walk in victory in the season ahead. The world around you does not understand my glory, but they will recognize your authority when you wear glory as a garment. There is a movement in the atmosphere. I'm sending help into your atmospheric realm, but you must move with me. There are places I need to access and faith responses I need from you. So listen carefully. The roadmap of heaven is being placed in the earth. I will reveal my stops for visitation. Follow me and you will meet your atmospheric intervention. Angels will assist you on the way. My presence will go before you and be your rear guard. There is a greater glory than you have known that is awaiting for you. A glory that will break the power of disinterest and discouragement that has held you captive. There will be a power released for you to finish the assignments that have not yet been completed. This will cause you to begin again stronger than you finish. My glory is great. And that was one prophetic word. Another one from another ministry. As I chose to record the works of my servant Joseph in a book about new beginnings, so my presence in you will become a place to birth a new beginning. This anointing will bring a Genesis experience to my church. I am forming in you a place of supernatural provision. I have put my presence in you to become a silo of abundance, resembling a farmer's silo that stores grain for future planting. Like Joseph, you will come to this place of provision, bringing nothing with you except my presence. It will be from the depths of my presence in you that I will draw out this blessing for the nations. This anointing will not be a work of addition, but of supernatural multiplication. I will birth this in you like I did when I multiplied the loaves and fish that fed thousands. My provision will flow from what appears to the natural eye to be a place of nothingness. You recognize that one. It will become a miraculous provision that will surprise not only those who receive it, but it will surprise my people. You will say, where did this come from? How did abundance come from nothing? I will draw the nations to you as I did to Joseph when I repositioned him in Egypt. They will come for a survival provision, but I have more planned than just their survival. I will use you to bring them into their destiny. The Joseph anointing will turn a famine into a feast, a lack into a gain, and a setback into a leap forward. The nations will see that I am in your midst. Set the tables. A feast of provision is coming. Finally, the trials and the issues you have faced in your life have been used by God to position you for your greatest impact. As Joseph spoke to his brothers, the Lord will also speak through you to those who have stood against you in the past. As you are anointed and released, you will be able to say, like Joseph, God sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. Genesis 45:7-8. That's another prophetic word. There's another one. Vision of a brutal winter. Very apt this weekend. I was shown that it was going to be a brutal winter. Lots of snow and tremendous wind. The church has been served a 32-ounce beer in a frosted mug. Interesting. They could drink it or not. It was their choice. They had 2 hours to drink it or not. After that time, it would evaporate. I believe this brutal winter with lots of snow and a tremendous wind is speaking of the next couple of months. It will be a time of great change, great confusion in the world, especially in America. However, for the committed Christian, it will be a powerful time in the Holy Spirit. This 32-ounce beer speaks of two things, Psalm 32 and Beersheba. Beersheba means a deep well, or well of the oath. There are two things being offered to the church now, a greater depth in the knowledge and the power of the Holy Spirit and the promises of God. I believe the 2 hours could represent a 2-year grace period. God is extending to the church for prayer and intercession to midwife this birth. After that time, it will be like the frost on the mug and it will evaporate or disappear. Another one, the repentant church. The church that is repented and is clean before the Lord is blessed. It is covered by the blood of Jesus. The church whose spirit has been renewed, as in Psalm 51, is a people of no guile like Nathaniel, and God imputes his righteousness to them. Righteousness is conforming to his thoughts, purpose, and action. Romans 4, 7-8. God finds no fault in his church. Psalm 32, 1-2. The church must be continually before the Lord in prayer and intercession to allow the Holy Spirit to pour water on the tares of its soul. Each time God reveals a need for repentance, the church must repent with a whole heart, then God considers them blessed. Prayer and intercession, Psalm 32, 6-11. This is where the church is heading in this 2-year season. As the church prays, their message will be heard through intercession. The promise is the trials will not overflow the church that is committed to God through intercession. He will raise up a standard against the enemy, Isaiah 59:19. The standard is Jesus, the Anointed One. Their praise and worship will bring deliverance for the body. By making a full commitment to God, the church will be led by the Holy Spirit of God. God will speak to those who have understanding. The 200 sons of Issachar had understanding of the times and knew what Israel should do. Mature sons and daughters have learnt how to bridle their tongues. The wicked will know the woes of God, but the righteous shall know his mercy, loving kindness. The righteous will rejoice and be glad in the Lord. Let's embrace the promise. It's time to embrace the promise God is extending to the church. It is our job to offer the invitation. It's up to the church to embrace it. The church has a choice to make now to receive the prayer warriors or reject them. The prayer warriors that are coming along now are women. If the church sets the women down this time, they become second-class citizens again. If this happens, then that church leadership will be set down also. A general that goes into battle without the troops behind him is a general that will die. A general called to lead, but he needs to lead the whole body. Intercessors are prayer warriors. Most of them are women. It's going to take both men and women to be warriors. They are the ones who will take the high ground. The time to embrace this is now, and the choice is extended to the church. The church that embraces the women and allows them to come forth is the church that will prosper and it will grow in number. Another word, the cocoon. To the outward appearances, the cocoon can look like a lonely place. In times when you're desperately trying to move forward and already going slower than we would like, it is difficult to let go and surrender our control for what looks like complete stillness. The cocoon can look like a wilderness, but in that case it's a wilderness of oneness where much more is accomplished than those moments first reveal. The cocoon is crawling into God's arms, letting go of everything else, just enjoying his heartbeat and embrace, knowing that their very moments are more powerful and more productive than anything else we could do. We could keep striving like the caterpillar and inch forward little by little, maybe even take another scoot toward breakthrough, or when we celebrate such closeness with our Creator, tucked into the living peace that bursts impossible fruit. The caterpillar, cease striving and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. The caterpillar often finds itself striving for significance or looking for breakthrough. We won't find breakthrough as a caterpillar. As such would be a substandard blessing and breakthrough. We are not called to be successful or blessed caterpillars. We are called to be new creatures, butterflies. For every caterpillar, there comes a season where they must realize that their dreams and their unique calling cannot be lived out apart from the cocoon. The butterfly. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The butterfly shows us unprecedented breakthrough. It is a new creation. It does not measure up to other butterflies. It does not strive. And each one has its own unique wings. Every butterfly's wings are different shapes, different colors, and new patterns, a reflection of God's own unique imprint on each one from within the cocoon. Joseph was the ultimate caterpillar turned butterfly. He scooted around forecasting his dreams of wings until he found himself deep in a cocoon of a prison. But it was that prison that brought his dreams to reality. The dream coat was but a representation of the favor and calling of God, while its true power and reality was Joseph's wings developed inside. Joseph held on to his dreams with vigor, but transformed in his cocoon within the prison of the palace. Just because you see the prison around you does not mean you're not already in the palace. We must not leave the palace of our calling while trying to escape our prison. However unlikely it may seem, and whatever our outward version of a cocoon may be, God often surprises us with how he brings forth our dreams. Prepare for launch. It is from the cocoon that we are launched, perhaps when we least expect it, when we are caught simply enjoying God in the wilderness of oneness that he has swept us away to. According to Joseph's dream, he was waiting for the familiar, his family, to come and promote him into his breakthrough. But God is a father who loves to surprise his children, who always does us at least one better than we can think or imagine. Joseph had to surrender to his cocoon and let God surprise him with greater wings than he could hope or dream. With such a good father, surrender always equals the best kind of surprises. What or whom is inside you and waiting to break out? For me, my breakthrough begins when I crawl up into God's lap and enter his cocoon. We usually focus on the caterpillar or the butterfly, but often what is most powerful is when we learn to celebrate what's in between. Another word, I'm beginning to push my people into a new season upon the world stage. This push will be a work of my spirit needed to overcome a reluctance that has developed in your hearts. I will never call you to a new place where I would ever leave you alone without power. As I told my servant Joshua, I will tell you today, I will never leave you or forsake you. The stage upon which I am now positioning you is a place complete with everything you will need to accomplish my will. My presence will be your single resource in this new place. Bring nothing with you. I want your trust to be placed in my presence alone, not in your performance or what has worked for you in the past. I will stand with you in this new place to help you experience the fullness of what I have called you to do in my name. I have begun a good work in you, and this push of my spirit is to move you into a new place where you will stand confident until my good work is completed in you. This is the season of countdown for the drawing of the curtain where the things God has promised are about to be seen. Many have chosen to remain standing in the wings of God's miraculous stage instead of stepping out onto this visible platform of faith. It has been such a long time that some have forgotten why they are waiting. They have forgotten the words of their part in God's play. They don't remember their cue. The push of God's Spirit is coming to launch them out onto God's stage for a demonstration of his love and power as the curtain of time is pulled back. Another word, getting to the end. Ask me for the keys for the next 2 years. I immediately saw a bright light on the horizon. Like many of the things God speaks, this has multiple meanings. For me, it speaks of hope. However, as I've sought the Lord, I felt it also speak of the window of time before us. He spoke to me concerning the importance of using our time wisely in the next season. I saw a light on the shoulders of the body of Christ, which speaks of our responsibility, the burden we carry. I specifically felt that the light on our shoulders represents carrying the burden of the Lord. The light on the horizon of the earth is the hope that God is setting upon it. Hope for tomorrow. God is a God of hope. Through many of these visions, I have noticed yellow as being a primary color, so much that I'm now associating it with the year 2013 in my own mind. historically for me, yellow has been related to hope and the gifts of God on our lives. It is symbolic of the light of the Lord flowing out of us to give hope to the world around us. God has given us a responsibility to carry the hope of the good news to the world around us. Then I saw the church as a white lampstand being set in a dark place and immediately felt something good was about to happen. The Hebrew word menorah is translated lampstand and means light bearer. God is not only setting the church up for favor, but he is reminding us that he's called us to be light, a light bearer in every place of darkness. He's setting up the lampstand, pouring out the oil, lighting the flame. He's intent on making the church a pure burning light in the world. 2013 is the time to focus fully on the hope we carry and on the hope to come. It is time to burn for God, to become fascinated with him, passionate for his desires. It's time to shine. 2014 will be a year when God is shifting our hope into the substance of faith, which must climb back into the prominent focus in the church. Times are wasting. I don't talk like that, but that's exactly what I heard. It reminded me of those who live a slower pace of life with no sense of urgency or purpose. There are good aspects to a slower pace of life. However, in this case, it speaks to me of the mentality that avoids our responsibility to carry out the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. The Great Commission was a command directly from Jesus, not a great suggestion. I said last week, God called us for the purpose of good works. His works, the same works that Jesus demonstrated. It's time to get into motion, specifically to take good news wherever we are directed by God. The Macedonian call also speaks specifically to taking the power of the gospel to those places which are open, where there are open doors and open hearts. It's time to focus putting Jesus on display where the people are pleading for good news. It's time to give people hope. 2013 is the time to pursue people who need hope. Realizing you are sent to do the works of God, God will guide those in motion. 2014 will be a time of great harvest for those who will be positioned and working towards it. 2013 is a time to allow God to bring something old and something new together, to merge something of tradition with something fresh and God-breathed. It's time to find fresh revelation from God in the things originated with God and the church, but were borrowed by the world or tainted through a lack of Christ-likeness. It's time to realign our word to the word of God. 2014 will be a year for revelatory teaching booths to begin taking a prominent role throughout the church, which will allow many to be captivated with the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. They will be like the scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is old and new. Matthew 13:52. Right, nearly finished. 13. The world looks at 13 as unlucky. Some airlines don't have a row of 13 on planes. Many elevators don't have a 13th floor. And the Friday the 13th is seen as unlucky. The number itself stands for unlucky, devastation, destruction, confusion, and many other negative things. That's what the world is looking at. 2013, what's God's perspective? What's our faith perspective? What do we need to decree and declare? And there's a list of things we can decree and declare. Deuteronomy 39. Everything we put our hand to shall prosper. Amen? He wants to declare that over their lives in 2013. The Lord, your God, will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your land for good. The blessings of God are running and overtaking us. Amen? Deuteronomy 28:2. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Psalm 37:4. God is giving you the desires of your heart. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Ephesians 2:7. And so God can always point us to us as examples of the incredible wealth of his favor and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us through Jesus Christ. I want God to point to me as an example of his favor and kindness and wealth in all that he's done for me. Let him point to you. We're going to be a sign and a wonder. Who wants to be a sign and a wonder? Hey, let's believe it. Jeremiah 29:11-13. our future. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Declare and decree this over yourselves daily. So I want to encourage you to do. Obviously, with greater vision and greater revelation of God's word comes greater responsibility. It's like once you've heard what God wants, you're no longer in ignorance. So everything I've shared to you today, you're now responsible to do something with, because you now have heard it. Faithfulness in the small things will enable God to trust us with the greater things. So don't just look for great big things. Look at the small things that God said and start to outwork them. There will be authority and power for healing and miracles and finances which will come if we're faithful with the little things that God's asked us to do, before you will give us the great. God must get the glory in everything. It's not about us. It's not for us. It's not to make us anything. It's about bringing glory to God. That's in everything that we have here. Now, I want to finish with just 13 decrees, which came from Patricia King, and I've got them printed out over there that you can take away with you. Again, things that we can decree over ourselves for this year. Decree one, increase separation unto God. I decree in 2013, I will increase in my separation unto God and his ways. I choose him in all things. Now, if you want to decree this with me, feel free to stand and say it with me. You might want to just go and take it away. That's up to you. But I encourage you, it's good to speak it out with witnesses. So if you'd like to do that, I just encourage you to stand up, and we'll just decree the bit that says I decree in each one. So number one is, I decree in 2013, I will increase in my separation unto God and his ways. I choose him in all things. Decree two, increase love. I decree in 2013, I will increase in my love for God, myself, and for others. Three, increase in peace. I decree in 2013, I will increase in perfect peace, wholeness, and soundness in my heart and mind, and in all my ways and in every situation. Decree four, increase wisdom. I decree in 2013, I will increase in wisdom from above, because I love God, love wisdom, ask for wisdom. Five, increase grace. I decree in 2013, I will increase in the grace of God that enables me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Number six, increase strength. I decree in 2013, I will increase in the strength of the Lord as I wait on him. Seven, increase health. I decree in 2013, I will increase in divine health and healing. Eight, increase prosperity. I decree in 2013, I will increase in abundance and prosperity. All my needs will be met according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Number nine, increase revelation. I decree in 2013, I will increase in the revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his kingdom and his righteousness. Number 10, increase power. I decree in 2013, I will receive increased manifestation of miracle working power. Number 11, increased answers to prayer. I decree in 2013, I will receive increased answers to prayer as I pray according to God's will. 12, increased purity of heart. I decree in 2013, I will increase in the purity of my heart, its motives and its passions. As a result, I receive new realms and dimensions. Number 13, increase boldness. I decree in 2013, I will increase in boldness to proclaim the gospel. As a result, many will turn to the Lord. Amen? Just believe that. Go for it.